Riddled Packers converted three turnovers into scores in a 35-14 win over the mistake-prone Bears last night. The Brewers closed within two games of Colorado for the National League's second wild card with three games left, rallying to beat the Reds 4-3. The Brewers end the regular season in St. Louis, while the Rockies host the Dodgers. Even though the Cubs are resting their regulars, Chicago managed to beat the Cardinals yesterday 2-1 in 11. High school football tonight on WGTD Sports Live on Facebook. St. Joe's host Thomas A. Moore, kickoff 7 o'clock. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service. Sunny skies all the way through the weekend. A high of 65 today. North winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. A beach warning along the Lake Michigan shoreline goes into effect at noon today and remains in place until Saturday morning for high waves and strong currents. Saturday's high 63, Sunday's high 68. Expanded forecast, warmer through midweek with temperatures climbing back into the low 80s by Tuesday. Next chance for some precipitation comes up on Wednesday with a slight chance of both showers and storms. Right now, 56 in Racine. I'm David Cole, WGTD News. The morning show with Greg Berg is coming up.
Support for the morning show comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Jack and Drea, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD-HD. I'm Gregory Berg. It's always a pleasure to welcome back into our studios Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and there's always all kinds of exciting things to talk about. And one of Gateway's vice presidents is with us today as well, Debbie Davidson, in what is most likely her last visit to the morning show, but we're going to get to that as well. But we're excited about the opportunity to speak with her about her long, rich, and important career here at Gateway Technical College and the great difference that she has made. We will be talking with her very, very shortly. First President Brian Albrecht, it's great to have you back, of course, right here at the start of a brand new fall semester.
Well, it's starting to feel like fall outside, Greg. I can certainly The temperatures are dropping and leaves are turning colors. And this is always an exciting time, the start of a fall semester. You know, we are so honored to be able to serve our community now for well over 100 years, but really to remind ourselves each fall just how important education is and what we can do more at Gateway to provide greater avenues of access. And the semester is off to a great start. This week we held our all-employee learning day, so not only are our students learning, but our staff and our faculty continue to engage in professional development. As I look at the beginning of the semester, I could not be more pleased with the level of engagement and excitement that our students bring to our campus. And as you know, we see it here in the Inspire Center, a lot of new students that are excited about the facilities and the programs that are being offered. And it changes each semester, but again, some things never change, and that's the enthusiasm that our students bring to this conversation.
It's pretty exciting. You can feel the electricity in the room, and of course, what you're referring to that our listeners might not immediately understand is that right below us in this building, the first floor of the Inspire Center, is the new nursing facility or part of the nursing facility.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's incredible.
It's amazing. I walk past and go through it almost every day just because I have to kind of get a focus on it and go like, for real, we have this? So this is a simulated hospital setting with human patient simulators, animated robots, if you will, in the beds, and they're controlled so that our students can respond to whatever symptoms that are are necessary and they can diagnose and become even more proficient in their profession. And just really super proud. It was a vision that Diane Skewes, who is now retired from the college as the Dean of Nursing, had for us. And we wish her so much happiness in her retirement. She'll be back here at the end of October because we're going to celebrate a new scholarship in her name for healthcare. And earlier this week, we had a really nice announcement. Some colleagues of ours in Madison under a company called Promega Corporation is sponsoring the Inspire Center, so they made a nice gift to the college, and we're going to have a chance to really not only provide great facilities, but now having even greater pathways of economic support for our students through scholarships.
Outstanding. So good to see all that happening. Speaking of what's happening, of course, Foxconn is happening, and of course that's one of the biggest headlines for the whole state of Wisconsin, or certainly for this part of Wisconsin in quite some time, and I know you have some things you want to share in terms of Gateway's potential partnership in all of this.
Well, you're right. It's probably the biggest thing that's happened in the last 40 or 50 years, and maybe even more, because just the size and scope of this project, and I think most of our listeners have heard, you know, pieces of this story, but it encompasses a $10 billion capital investment, 20 million square feet of education and training space, so that's, you know, almost 20 Amazons, if you're familiar with that building out on the interstate, and the size and scope and capacity of what just that represents alone would be overwhelming. But then you add in there the complexity of the technology and the products that are going to be developed is something that not many of us have ever even had a chance to witness before. I, fortunately, a week ago had a chance to travel to Japan to look at their current facility, which is half the size of the one they're going to be building in southeast Wisconsin. And
wow.
I was inspired. I was amazed and really, really excited about what opportunities that we have right here in our community and the important role that Gateway will continue to play in helping to provide the right talent with the right skills to be able to perform at an international level with this high-end technology. So, you know, as a part of the legislation that was passed, Gateway is included in some infrastructure funding to put an addition on to the SC Johnson iMed Center, Integrated Manufacturing Center, and we look toward new programming that we're going to be offering there in advanced robotics and material sciences and, you know, all the things that we've always wanted to do but maybe hadn't had the direct need from an employer yet. Now with Foxconn coming in, we'll add those new programs, and I know that that will elevate all of our employers in this area because those skill sets, I think, are not only emerging but are necessary to sustain basic economic success for our employers.
Right. It points to what you've talked about before with Foxconn, the way in which it is very likely a game changer, even beyond what it directly will do. The fact that the whole economic culture of this part of the country is likely to change in some really extraordinary
ways. Absolutely. You know, I try to remind myself 100 years ago there was something similar that happened. Maybe it was a spark of entrepreneurial innovation that was taking place with, you know, SC Johnson and InSinkErator and Snap-on and Twin Disc, and all of those companies were evolving at that time into something that was even greater than I'm sure that society at that time could envision. And now today we kind of take it for granted. But that's what's happening here, an entirely new ecosystem around consumer product industry in advanced electronics and automated manufacturing systems. And Foxconn is reigniting that light of entrepreneurial and technology innovation that will not only help our current generation, but many generations down the road, because this type of company has heavily invested in the research and development of products in these areas. So, you know, when you have 77,000 patents, you've got a lot of invested infrastructure that is going to continue to transform the work that's being done here, and then for us personally, the lives that we live, because, you know, they make cell phones and computers and, you know, TVs and all types of different devices that we regularly use every day.
Absolutely. Well, before we get to our special guest, I know that you want to say a word about a program here at Gateway that is really what this place is all about, namely the Gateway Promise program, which essentially offers up tuition-free education at Gateway to those that qualify. And I know this is something very near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you think about how we create pathways of opportunity, and we just talked about Foxconn, how do you get folks ready for these new types of skill sets? And it starts way beyond their entrance into Gateway. So there needs to be a partnership with our K-12s, and we do a lot already. We have great articulation pathways, and we have, you know, a way that students can earn credit while they're in high school. But one of the challenges in many cases is the affordability. How can we help students and their families make that next step beyond high school into a college-like Gateway and keep that cost down so they're not strapped with the burden of high debt when they complete or even have the hope and dream to go on to post-secondary education if they had not planned accordingly for that. So the Gateway Promise Initiative really drives home a community-wide strategy to allow families, along with their children, to have the conversation about what's next, what's the big dream for education. And our community's been very generous. We have a $2 million endowment at this time. We're continuing looking to increase that. The endowment then allows for what's called last dollar funding. So if a student applies to Gateway and leverages their federal financial aid eligibility, if there is a difference in cost between what the federal aid gives them and the cost of tuition for that particular program, our college foundation picks up the bill. Wow. So essentially, it's free college tuition for students that qualify for it. And we've seen a tremendous interest by students. 175 students are currently enrolled in the program.
Terrific.
They started this last summer, actually, with a three-week bridge program. So they have been in school now for well over a month and a half and are fitting in well. They're excited. They're, you know, looking at their future as something that is going to be remarkably transformed as a result of two things. One, having access to post-secondary education, but then the really great programs that we have that are supporting our community and can change families' lives because they're really good, solid jobs.
Nicely put. Yeah, it's so important to offer those opportunities.
Right.
Well, speaking of important, we have a very important person with us as well in the studio that we're so happy that can be part of this morning show, and she's been with us before. Debbie Davidson, Vice President for Business and Workforce Solutions. What a great title.
Yeah, I need to take a deep breath because this is so – I'm so happy today that Debbie is our guest, and I'm actually very sad at the same time because this will be the last time that Debbie will be my guest on the radio program, and she's been a dear friend, a great colleague, and what a leader, ambassador, champion for Gateway within our community in so many different fronts, not just right here in Southeast Wisconsin, but as you'll hear throughout the program, across the nation.
Yeah. So we're glad to have you back once again. And let's start with your life story. How about that for a simple question?
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It is bittersweet. We, you know, the one word that comes to my mind when I think of Gateway is opportunity. But I'll tell you a little bit about my background and how opportunity fits into that.
Please.
I've spent almost 30 years in higher education. So I've worked, started out for Concordia University, building their adult learning center in Kenosha.
Ah.
Spent about 9 years there. Then I worked at Parkside for a couple of years in their community outreach center. Hmm. And then moved to Gateway. And I've been with Gateway for almost 16 years. I live in Pleasant Prairie. I'm married for 30 years, have two grown daughters. And the one thing about Gateway that always struck me, even before I worked here and as I interacted with people from Gateway, was just their can-do attitude, right? Hmm. So I'd serve on committees with people from Gateway, and they'd always be the first to raise their hand and say, we can do that. We can handle that aspect. No problem. We'll work on that.
And so in other words, you were hearing that and impressed by that even before you yourself worked at Gateway.
Absolutely, absolutely. So to me, it was like, what is with the people at Gateway? They're all just, you know, this, it wasn't just one or two people like this. This was everybody that I was running into and interacting with. And I had been in the initial Leadership Kenosha program back in 1999. I met Zena Haywood at that time. She was in the same program. And at that time, I was working at UW Parkside, and an opportunity opened up at Gateway, and I thought, I have to go for this. And so I did. And when I started at Gateway, I actually worked at Lakeview Advanced Technology Center. I was brought in as a marketing person just for Lakeview for automated manufacturing and the things that we offer there, and to market that within Lakeview Corporate Park.
Right.
Well, Lakeview Corporate Park is big, but you can only knock on those doors so often before they're like, hey, weren't you just here the other day? So it branched out to being, you know, market what Lakeview has to offer to the entire Tri-County area.
And that's actually where Debbie and I first met. So this is my 12th year at Gateway, and I was brought to Gateway to help oversee the advanced technology centers, and Lakeview was one of those centers. And so I had a chance to meet Debbie very early in my career here, and her excitement about Gateway is something that I carry over as well. And the work that she did at Lakeview has really set a solid framework, and now we talk about it all the time. It's a national leading school for developing partnerships, and students there graduate with Gateway College credits, and it's an engineering manufacturing high school, which is, in today's discussion, so important for our region because of the companies that are moving in.
Absolutely. So when you came to Gateway then, did it end up living up to this huge sense of promise that you had going in? I mean, was Gateway what you hoped it would be, and has it been over all these years?
Absolutely. Absolutely that and more. Gateway is really has such a culture of family, friendliness not only internally but externally, and I think, I hope we continue to have that reputation externally. From people that I interact with, they tell me that. They're like, you know, Gateway, we can go to Gateway and know that people are going to follow through and things are going to happen. And if you say you're going to participate in something, it's not just your name on the list of participants, but you're actually going to engage and add something to the initiative.
Yeah, I kind of find the same thing. So I think it goes back to our mission and our purpose. You know, and I always try to remind myself of the age of the college, which I think is really important, but there's more to it than just that, right? It's really about what our focus has been all these years and what we hope to be able to deliver to our students. And you see that firsthand in the programs that you run.
And it is about opportunity. So I've seen a lot of personal opportunity, definitely professional opportunity, from coming in as a marketing person to rising up to a vice president level. But then the opportunity that we provide to our students. So it's not only, you know, obviously what we get out of it. That's not the reason that we're here. But the opportunities that we are able to give to others as well.
There we go. Well, I this is highly irregular and completely unprofessional, but somebody is barging their way into our interview program, and I think you need to state your name for the record here before we press charges on this invasion. No, this is Pam Zenner-Richards, who is a trustee of Gateway Technical College, and all kidding aside, we're really glad you're here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
So tell us what prompts you to want to join us today and say a few words about the woman sitting next to you.
Well, I mean, this is, I could go on and on, so I will keep myself under control a little bit here. But Debbie and I have worked together for a fairly long time, really. I've been on the board 17 years, so before that, I worked full-time at the Racine County Workforce Development Center, and was managing, when I retired, I was managing the business services team. So Debbie and I have a relationship, as it were. And I would just like to say a couple of words about her. And I have my notes because I want to be I've worked with Brian long enough to know that I need to be very prepared. And I don't want to miss anything. But Debbie is a consummate professional. And she's not only that, but she's a professional with an entrepreneurial spirit. And that, in my mind, has enabled her and helped her to make the connections that she's made with the business community. And those connections are very, very deep and very meaningful. I mean, you leading the workforce and business solutions area of the college has really been remarkable, and you've taken it to a brand new level. And I looked at the website again this morning, and I thought, and, you know, the copy there is perfectly written, because what that division does is they're problem solvers. And Debbie, nobody does that better than Debbie, and I'm going to give you a very real-world example of that. Years ago, when I was working full-time, my team identified an issue. And that issue was the lack of CNC machine operators. I was on the board at that time, so you know, my natural inclination was to go back to Gateway and say, hey, this is the issue. Can we solve this? And I brought it to Debbie, and at that time, Ed Knutson. And remarkably, they put together the CNC boot camp, and I believe that you put that curriculum together in about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very, very short term, right?
Wow.
We had a lot of the pieces already, but we filled in the gaps with other pieces and really had about 30 employers come together and tell us this is exactly what we need.
Wow. And, you know, that is a sustainable model. This summer in July, we started the 27th boot camp. How about that?
Wow.
And it's a model that has become a national model. And we also use that same model with welding. We still run telecom and cabling boot camps. And where the need existed for that kind of short-term training program, we did it. I mean, we're very, and Brian loves this word, we're nimble.
Exactly. You know, it's become a national model. Other colleges around the country have replicated it. And Debbie deserves a lot of the credit for it because she has not only helped put this model together, but has been our ambassador spokesperson in Washington and across the country for how colleges like Gateway can be nimble and adapt to meeting the needs of the workforce of their region. So it's a great credit. And Pam, it's so great to see you. What a nice surprise.
It's a very nice surprise. I did tell them at the start, we want no tears during this interview. So I promise.
But, you know, let me just finish my comments on a personal level. You have made my experience as a board member just quite special. You know, I feel very valued as a board member. And, you know, I have seen the things that you've been able to do, and I've seen the lives that have been changed because of it. It's why I do what I do and why you do what you do. And you can leave knowing that you have changed many, many lives for the better.
Thank you.
I hope we have not seen the last of you. I hope that when we identify issues that, you know, could benefit by your experience, that we'll see that lovely face again and experience all of the good things that come from your vast experience.
Thank you, Pam.
I thank you. On a personal level, and I will miss you, but at the same time, very grateful, very, very grateful.
Thank you. Mm. I'm not leaving the area, so we will see each other.
That's good. That's great. Well, thank you, Pam. And we have another very special guest that came in as well, Jeff Robshaw.
Right. It's not every day. We have two vice presidents in the same room sharing the same space, and it's great to have you here as well. Not only as cameraman to capture this lovely moment, but I have a feeling you've also worked with Debbie enough to have a lot to say about her value to Gateway.
How much time do we have? No, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to say to Debbie that I'm glad you're not going far away because I certainly will miss her. We'll miss her leadership and innovative solutions. So over the years, I've had the pleasure of working with Debbie on the Executive Leadership Council. It's getting close to 15, I think. And I've always valued her creativity and her friendship, both on a professional and a personal level, her ability to collaborate and create these unique solutions, such as Lakeview Academy, the Real School Initiative, NC3, I think Brian could go on and on about that. So just, those are only a few of the things. But just on a personal level, it's nice to have had someone who is such a strong ally, believes in technology, believes in innovation, and models that as well. So I will miss you. And I know you're not far away, and I know where you live. So
I know
we'll hunt you down.
I know you will. I look forward to that.
So we have an executive leadership council that meets every other week. Mm. So all the vice presidents have a chance to talk about issues, concerns, and really set the direction for the college. And Jeff and Debbie both have been really strong leaders in that. And Debbie really advocates for a very unique role in the workforce solution side of it because most of our discussions are on academic support. So while we need academics in the workforce, there's really a customization that is not as common as everyone else might know about at Gateway. So her leadership and her strength in leadership is really, really valued and I think, as Jeff said, highly regarded and respected.
Very good. Well, hear. Nicely put, both of you. Debbie, I want to make sure that for people listening who are not Gateway employees, not immersed in what happens here, I want to make sure that they understand, although I think, Pam, some of what you said right off the bat, I think did a good job of maybe clarifying that for some people, but I would really like you to spell out the essential role that you play. What is it that you do in terms of building connections with Gateway and outside entities, be they companies or schools or whatever? What are you responsible for? What have you been responsible for?
So this is the part where I tell my colleagues, my boss, and my boss's boss what I actually do.
Right.
What does it say?
I think it's not crossword puzzles,
right.
I don't think.
Exactly. Yeah. So the short answer to that is our division brings all the resources of the college out to business and industry. So that's the elevator pitch of what does this division do? Most people in the area are accustomed to sending people to Gateway to get a degree, to get a diploma, to get a certificate. But all of those resources are available for us to take out to industry. So I meet with companies who are looking to train one employee up to 100 employees in very specific areas. It could be through apprenticeship. It could be by sending them to boot camp. It could be accessing boot camp graduates. Could be I need to send somebody to a half-day workshop in Excel. So any one of those, it could be consulting with them on new workflow on their production floor. So we have 9 faculty members in my division, but then we have access to all of the faculty members across Gateway. And so when you think of the richness of the expertise that those individuals hold, and any company, any organization, manufacturing is a big part of our economy here, but it could be healthcare, it could be financial services, it could be retail. It could be municipalities who are looking for expertise in something very specific. I tell them, call us first and find out if we offer it. Excuse me. And if we don't, we will connect you with somebody that does.
Wow.
So yesterday we got a call, or actually the day before, from a company who said, do you do HazWhopper training? You know, and I'm like, wow.
I'm sorry, what now?
Would you explain what that is a little bit? It's hazardous waste removal. And the process of handling that and discarding of that.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I'm not really sure. Well, I come to find out we have somebody in the college that does HazWhopper training. So you don't know these things until you start asking the questions. So I think basically, and I've told Brian this before, in my earlier life I took a test and I was supposed to be an air traffic controller. And I think that's what I do. I think that's what I do because there's a lot of, you know, planes are flying around, and they're all going to need different things at different times. How do you coordinate all of that? And really, Brian's analogy is always connecting the dots, right? So you have to know the dots in order to connect them. You have to know where to turn to and where those resources are. And so that really my job has been listening to what companies need, translating that into what are the services and programs that the college can offer or develop in order to meet those needs.
Yeah, and I think that's what keeps all of us working at Gateway so excited every day because there's something new to learn every day. You know, that example just reminded me that as I walk through the campus and I see the types of programs and we're continuing to upgrade and do new things and new companies come in with different expectations. And so the air traffic controller is exactly a good analogy for you, trying to place everyone in the right position so that we can take advantage of that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
You know, I might add one other personal thing. Debbie also has a wicked sense of humor.
Yes.
And that has helped in many occasions to get us across some bumpy roads. And to me, that's a real asset. I've always been grateful for
that. Well, and I think it's sometimes an underappreciated asset. I mean, we don't often think about it when it comes to kind of the things we're talking about, but it can make a big difference. And I'm curious, Debbie, what would be the typical circumstances under which a company would have the need that you just described? Is it typically that a company is branching out into some new venture and the employees at hand aren't fully skilled in whatever that might be? Or is it that they end up needing to hire people that don't have these skills that otherwise would be required for the job? I mean, typically, why is there that need in the first place?
The need is typically driven by either new technology, a new process, or new hires. So it could be any one of those. So a company may not be expanding, but they may be getting new equipment. And the people that they have are not familiar with it. And you'll get a certain amount of training from a vendor, but then they leave, and there's ongoing training. Or there's new people who come in who have never operated that type of equipment, even though they've had a similar job somewhere else. So we do a lot of incumbent worker training, so people who are already hired by that company, just like apprenticeship is incumbent worker training. But then the boot camps is where we kind of step out of that, because those are not. Those are people who have either been dislocated workers, unemployed, underemployed, and they're looking to change their career and looking to change their life. And the one thing that we hear over and over at 26 different completion ceremonies is, this has been life-changing. And they will go into great detail of how it has changed their life, and some of the stories will just break your heart. But we are happy that we provided that opportunity for them to turn things around.
Yeah, and I would just add that just as in industry, continuous improvement is a focus of how do we sustain our economic value, and so that training of the workforce is really critical. I would also just like to acknowledge Debbie for bringing that mentality to Gateway. So our focus on continuous improvement, in which every single employee at Gateway goes through a minimum of white belt certification to understand why it's important and the language behind it, that initiated in Debbie's division, and she was the champion to help bring that opportunity to the entire arena at Gateway Technical College. And we're a much stronger college as a result of that.
Because people aren't sitting still.
Correct. We're always looking for new ways to improve. And so it's a philosophy, but there's some, you know, knowledge base behind it as well. In fact, Jeff is a green belt or black belt now?
Black belt
employee for us. And so he is heavily involved in, you know, everything we do, why we add new services, and how do we improve the efficiency of those services, and making sure that at the end it's of greater value to our customer.
It strikes me that, you know, Debbie's, you know, while we are going to lose her to retirement here, she is really the future of the college, because she's really helped bring that nimble, agile mentality. And so that's not always an easy thing, because we're traditionalists, right? We provided quality education for over 100 years. But stretching people's horizons to make them look at new opportunities with new and emerging opportunities in technology and corporate, you know, partnerships, that really is the future. And you've ushered that in a way. And so thank you for that.
And, I would agree.
Yeah,
I
mean, isn't that really true?
Look where we are today with our partnerships and the branding that we have nationally. So 10 years ago, we didn't have that. And now we have corporate relationships that are extremely tight at the highest possible levels with presidents of organizations and CEOs to help identify how Gateway can continue to improve and then share our resources with other colleges around the country.
I think it grew out of necessity. So as we meet with companies, right, and you know, Brian is our greatest advocate for how do we work with a company and then how do we live up to that company's expectation of quality and service and continuous improvement. And so when Snap-on says, we'll fly your flag, you know, that to us means we're going to live up to Snap-on's expectation. We're going to live up to SC Johnson's expectation. Their name is on our building. So that kind of enables you to say, we have to do things differently.
To the best possible
exactly,
level we can.
Exactly.
Could you maybe offer up some other tangible ways, although I think it's already been very well said, in which the work you do has changed over the 16 years that you have been at Gateway in terms of the nature of what you do or how you do it or how this training is delivered? What would be some of the most powerful ways in which it is not what it was 16 years ago?
I think on the economic development side of things, now when companies come and they're meeting with one of our economic development partners, either Kenosha Area Business Alliance or Racine County Economic Development Corporation or Walworth County Economic Development Alliance, when they meet with them, they want Gateway at the table at the first meeting. They want to know, what does the workforce look like? Are they trained? How could they be trained? What are the opportunities for ongoing training for us? And so it used to be we'd come in at the end. Now it's more like rapid response to a company that wants to come in, and what does that whole cycle look like from a company coming here all the way through how do we continually train our employees and how do we get more engaged with the college. So that's what really has changed, is that companies are looking for us on the forefront, not an afterthought of, I will build here and then we'll see how it works out when we have to train our employees in the future. I also see companies much, much more engaged in talent development of their employees. Hmm. In the last 5 years, I would say that has become a key talking point with companies, is how do we train our employees? What can we do for them? How can we keep them moving forward so that we keep them, first of all, so that they're not leaving us and going to work for another employer? So what's changed the most, I think, is the employer engagement part of it. Mm. It really has become huge, where it's not us necessarily reaching out to them and saying, this is a good thing to do, let me sell you on why this is a good thing to do, but employers saying, this is what we need to do, how can we partner with you?
Yeah. So they already know it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you know, so companies moving to this area maybe don't have the same level of experience around, you know, how do you attract a talent workforce in the Racine, Kenosha, Walworth area. Debbie, maybe just one real quick example, sort of what you did with Kenall Manufacturing or Niagara Bottling, and how do we on-ramp and then provide our services to make sure that they're successful?
Right. We have worked very closely with our workforce partners and our economic development partners on coming up with a systematic approach. So for Kenall chose to locate in Kenosha because of Gateway Technical College, which is, you know, what an honor for them to continually say that and proclaim that to everybody else. And we have worked closely with them initially on identifying what their job responsibilities were for each of their different job positions, but then also we have a faculty member that does all of the onboarding of their new employees. So Kenall handles the HR onboarding, but we have an instructor, Randy Reusser, who does an intro to electronic assembly for every employee that comes in.
Wow.
So rather than them saying, we have our own person, we can take care of this in-house, they rely on Randy to come in and do that. And we've done lean training for them, and we continue to find other ways that we can integrate with them as well. So that's one of them. Other companies, we have done joint job fairs and training of individuals as soon as they're hired. There's just, for every company, you know, we start with a framework, and then it kind of goes off in different directions and gets customized to whatever their needs or how ready they are to move forward or how large they are.
Right. Well, it says a lot about how you do this. This also echoes what both Jeff and Pam have said about you, that it has to be the right person who forges that level of comfort and confidence that people feel like they, I mean, like it's their absolute preference to make use of what Gateway has to offer, that it's not this strange outside entity. Well, they know a lot, but they're, I mean, hard to deal with or kind of strange invaders into something familiar. I mean, it's like you evidently have a real gift for knowing how to implement this in a way that is very inviting and sincere, and people want us to be part of what they're doing.
I also have a team that behind me. So for every person that, you know, leads, there's a team behind them of directors and specialists and faculty who are doing this every day. And so every one of them within my division, everybody has that same attitude of, this is what the customer is looking for. And a lot of times, that doesn't always fit neatly into what the college does. Brian alluded to that before. You know, we're an academic institution, so there's always these, but then there's business and workforce solutions, and they're going to do it a little bit differently, and it doesn't always fit in neatly, but at the end of the day, it is part of our mission and what we do, and we find a way to make that fit, and it grows our program areas as well. So the things that we've brought in through Business and Workforce Solutions, we now work with different departments and say, here's a way to grow enrollment, to get the community to understand what your program is about, offer a short-term training in that, and you'll get more people interested in coming for a degree program. Mm.
For those of you just joining us, this is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, but really it's not the Brian Albrecht show today.
It never really is, Greg.
It's much more today about Debbie Davidson, vice president for Business and Workforce Solutions here at Gateway Technical College, but about to step away from all of those responsibilities after 16 years at the college. And also with us in the studio, Pam Zenner-Richards, longtime Gateway trustee, and Jeff Robshaw, who is one of the other vice presidents of the college, also here as a surprise to Debbie, not to President Albrecht and me, but here as a surprise to our special guest to pay tribute to her. Debbie, beyond all that you've generously given to Gateway in terms of service and devotion and time and passion, you also have served in various capacities with various groups out in the community, which I know is also very, very important to you. give us at least a partial list of what you have given some of your extra outside time to, and why.
I'll give you the short list. Right? Okay, so I've been really fortunate to serve on lots of committees and task force and different initiatives across all three counties. And currently, I serve on the Racine County Economic Development Corporation Board and the Walworth County Economic Development Alliance Board as well. And then in Kenosha, I serve on the Education Foundation of Kenosha, which is a separate entity started by Kenosha Unified School District, but really about how do we engage K-12 students in going on to the next level of education. So those are just a handful of the local ones. And then I've had great opportunity to serve on some national boards as well. And that, to me, has been very rewarding, very exciting, given me an opportunity to really see how other colleges operate and take kind of the best of what they do and bring it back to Gateway. And it has then garnered thousands of colleges to come to Gateway and see how we do things and benchmark against us. So we talk about Gateway being a model college, and I'll tell you, when colleges come and visit us, the sense of pride that I feel and my staff feels and anybody here that interacts with them is just over the top, because they're like, do you mind if we take pictures? Do you mind if we steal this idea? Do you mind if can we connect with your marketing people? Can we, you know, no matter what it is that they're here to visit for, they see so much more about it. And they will say Gateway has a culture that they don't see anywhere. And we tell them it's a Gateway experience. And they start to get that after a little bit of time with us. They're like, we go from building to building, and we feel it in every building we go to, not only visually, but just in the people that we meet as well.
Yeah, and Debbie's modest about all of this. She not only serves on these organizations, she's the former national president for the National Coalition of Advanced Technology Centers, leading the direction across the nation on how colleges can be more interactive with employers. Has built relationships with companies that not only serve Gateway but serve other colleges around the country, is one of the first to always volunteer for activities inside of Gateway, whether it's working a craft fair to raise money for scholarship funds, serving, collecting food for our food drives for our students. She serves in advocacy roles with the Chamber of Commerce to make sure that our voice is heard in many different sectors, and just one of the greatest volunteers that we have here at the college, and I know that volunteerism will carry over into the community when she leaves us here at Gateway.
Well, and it's someone who, at the heart of her life, your life, has a very, very satisfying and demanding job. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you're not the likeliest candidate to also be out and about doing all of this other stuff. Where does all that energy come from?
Where does it come from? I mean, I just was born with a lot of energy and just a curiosity and a passion to do well. My top strength is responsibility, so the inability to say no sometimes gets me where I am, right? That's kind of the flip side of responsibility. And connectedness, and just believing that there's a connectedness to things, and that if you're going to do a job, do the best that you can and treat people well. And so that's what keeps me going.
Very good. Well, and I love the fact that when you describe Gateway and the way in which it is so deeply admired by folks from technical colleges across the country, that so much of it comes back to the people beyond the facilities and the stuff we hold in our hands.
Exactly.
It's the people here that makes such a difference in people like you.
Absolutely. And I think the comprehensive experience that Debbie has had with Gateway has helped us become a stronger college in appreciating all the different roles that we have. I was just thinking the other day, Debbie, about, so how many different offices have you had here at Gateway? Because you moved around quite a bit. So you've been on all the campuses. You know the programs. You know the people. And you're personally invested in Gateway.
Right.
And it shows in the types of level of service that you give to the people of Gateway, but also to the customers of Gateway.
Right.
Debbie, I wonder if you would describe to our listeners an experience that you had recently when you were asked to speak at the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Real School. First of all, just briefly explain how that invitation came to you and what you said and what that whole experience meant.
Well, I was honored to speak there. I believe it came through Brian, the invitation for me to speak there. And it really, for me, it kind of brought things full circle, right? So when I started, I mentioned I started at Lakeview Advanced Technology Center, which is a high school. Right now it has about 400 high school students. At that time it probably was about 300. And my office was in the middle of that building. And if you've ever been in Lakeview, they don't have bells when classes change. They play music, like Ring of Fire kind of music. And students get to choose the song. It's very loud in between. And I'd be in my office on a conference call and hear this loud music, and I have to explain to the people on the other end of the phone, I'm in a high school. But I loved the energy of that, that to me. And I love working with young people. And so the energy of being at Lakeview was a really good fit for me. And so going to the real school and having the ribbon cutting there for these young people, which are middle school and high school students that are there, and helping them see the opportunity in front of them and that this is a model and don't take it for granted. I think the one thing that I learned with Lakeview most of all, and I get to go back to Lakeview's commencement every year and stand on the stage next to their board member who hands out their high school diploma and hand them a certificate from Gateway for the number of credits that they earned. So wow. Typically, they'll earn anywhere from 14 to 25 credits. And so that, to me, is an honor to be able to do that. And, you know, parents are blown away by it, and we talk about how many credits collectively they earned and how much money they saved by taking this path. And I think that young people don't understand the models that they have here that aren't available in other communities. And that, first and foremost, and you know, they're 17, 18 years old. They're not going to appreciate that until they're older, perhaps. But their parents are starting to appreciate what we have right here. And Real School is going to do the same thing in Racine that Lakeview did for Kenosha. And I hope that we see more and more of that, because what we're hearing from employers on the employer side is we have to start earlier. You know, we have to have these ecosystems that train these students in the technologies that are not only here but are coming. And there have to be different ways of delivering that education to them and working together. So for me, it was kind of like bookends of my career. And now my office is at the IMET Center, and we have real school students there. So I said I started with high school students in my building, and I'm ending with high school students in my building. So it's really, it's been quite rewarding. And it is a different level of energy that you get.
Well, we have just a couple of minutes left for you to say whatever you want about what you are planning to do from here. It sounds like you're not moving to the Bahamas or any any other exotic.
We were hoping to open a new campus there.
There you go.
Oh, now he tells me that. No, we are pretty grounded. I'm a Wisconsinite, you know, native. So is my husband. We love Wisconsin. We love the seasons when they actually show up. So we plan to do some traveling. My husband retired. He was a plumber for 40 years. He retired in April. And he runs a part-time automotive business, which he would like to bring into the digital age. So I'm going to help him with that, bringing it online. And volunteer work definitely in my community will be something that I'll continue to do. And then whatever path God shows me. So, you know, I'm open to new ideas and opportunities. As Pam said, if something comes up that meets what my expertise is, I certainly would be open to pursuing it. But for now, we're gonna take some time and connect with family.
Sounds like a very, very good move. And we are grateful for all that you have given to Gateway. A closing thought, Mr. President?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you remember this, Debbie, but when I was first appointed president at Gateway, so this is 12 years ago, during that first week, Debbie came in and gave me a bobblehead of Charlie Brown. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And we had this long conversation about sometimes you get in situations where you just don't know if it's ever going to work, kind of like Charlie Brown. Somebody's pulling the football out from me all the time. And her comment to me was, always remember, never give up. And that's that's the message, that's the value that Charlie Brown brings to that whole story for all of these decades. And that's what has stuck with me forever since you gave that to me, that there are going to be challenges. And Gateway is certainly not immune to any challenges, right? But if we stick together and if we don't give up on this, we can find the right solution for it. And so you brought that value to me. You brought it to our college, and it will carry on for many, many, many years.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you.
Yeah, we wish you happiness and safe travels and not too much frustration with your husband as you try to bring him into the 21st century. And we know that all kinds of good things are ahead for you, just as you've brought so much, so many good things to Gateway. So very best wishes. It's been a great pleasure to speak with you on so many occasions on the morning show. And we wish you only the best in what lies ahead for you.
Thank you.
And let's also thank the two surprise guests who also joined us today on the morning show. Pam Zenner-Richards, a valued Gateway trustee, and Jeff Robshaw, one of our vice presidents. Also great to have you on hand for this tribute. And, of course, President Brian Albrecht.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg. Next week will be a very busy week for the morning show, beginning on Monday, when I replay from the archives yet another conversation with Lewis Sorley, one of the most compelling experts on the Vietnam War and author of A Better War. Tuesday, Jack Rose from the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, the Kenosha chapter. Next week is Mental Illness Awareness Week. On Wednesday, Philip Stead, author of a new